Let's come with the sound of the bell to really hear it like a gong of awareness and to feel the way in which it leads to silence. So you might notice that this is easier with the eyes closed, or maybe you can maintain the eyes open. Still stay settled in its leading into the vastness of silence. And throughout the retreat, as we hear the sound of the bell, see if you can come to ground into this field of silence that it leads towards. Even inherent in the sound of the bell is the silence. But let it be truly like a bell of awareness. If for one reason or another, or simply because of the hypnotism of thinking that we are the psychological mind, we might be caught up in thought, dialoguing about the story of life rather than truly settling into it. Let the bell cut through like a sword of awareness. These tiny micro practices can truly anchor us into what is true, what is here now. This morning, as we continue, let's come into an inquiry around where it is that we're truly seated, where the self, the I, is to be known. As I just mentioned before, so often we can be caught in what seems like reality, the thought streams, the psychological mind, the mind that is making a story of what it is that is occurring in life. Notice even now, as I'm saying this, if there's the interpreter, the one who has certain opinions, certain judgments, the psychological that's taking the input of the words and then translating, placing one meaning or another upon them. And notice how clearly that one can be seen. Meaning there's someone who's watching the thinker, the interpreter. So then the question necessarily arises, Am I that field of thought, of story, of interpretation, if it's changing and can be seen. And then the question also necessarily arises, who or what is this one, the field in which all of that is seen? Eckhart Tolle so clearly offers that to realize that we are not the thoughts is truly when we begin to awaken to the self, to spirituality. So what does this mean? To recognize that we are not the thoughts is to truly begin to awaken. Even now, if we place the attention here and watch the movie of the psychological, we can start to see that there's no control, that it hops of its own accord, that it starts to throw out its opinions and its interpretation, not from any choice that resides within you. It seems to respond due to some conditioning or habituation, some patterning. It has certain beliefs about what life is and isn't. Just taking these moments now to see that can truly be revelatory, showing us that it is nurtured. That the psychological mind, that interpreter, is neither you, nor is it touching into the fabric of reality. In this examination, Eckhart Tolle goes on to further offer the following, and let us be inspired by what he shares. How easy it is for us to become trapped in the conceptual prisons. The human mind, in its desire to know, understand, and control, mistakes its opinions and viewpoints for the truth. It says, this is how it is. It says, that is how it is. You have to be landed as larger than thought to realize that however you interpret your life or someone else's life or behavior, however you judge any situation, it is nothing more than a viewpoint, one of many possible perspectives. It's no more than a bundle of thoughts. But reality is one unified whole in which all things are interwoven, where nothing exists in and by itself. Thinking fragments this reality. It cuts it up into conceptual bits and pieces. The thinking mind is a useful and powerful tool, but it is also very limiting when it takes over the life completely, when we don't realize that it is only a small aspect of the consciousness that you are. True wisdom is not a product of thought. The deep knowing that is wisdom arises through the simple act of giving someone or something your full attention, awareness. This awareness is primordial intelligence, consciousness itself. It dissolves the barriers created by conceptual thought, and with this comes the recognition that nothing exists in and by itself. It joins the perceiver and the perceived in a unifying field of awareness. It is the healer of separation. Spiritual awakening is awakening from the dream of thoughts. In the Vedic tradition, it is very clear that the mind is an organ, a powerful tool. And when that organ, that tool, is used in its right place, it can allow us to move through the life with grace. It can allow us to move through the life with intelligence. It can allow insight to direct the movement of the life, but only when it's truly a transparent organ of consciousness itself. And like any organ, like any sense, if not used properly, it can become bogged down, clouded, constricted. And so when we seat our lives in the thinking mind, in the psychological, and the more we become hardened and fastened to thinking that's who we are, the more this literally starts to cloud the organ. And so actually in every tradition, it's clearly pointed to that the suffering, that avidya, ignorance, arises from being seated as these viewpoints, as the psychological, because wisdom shows us that this holds no truth, that these are ever-changing and based upon conditioning. And so all suffering, bondage, starts from this first cause. And the more we start to free up the tethering from the psychological mind and inquire to who we truly are, the more the naturalness of freedom bubbles up to the surface. And so even now, allow this inquiry to be here. Am I this mind, these thoughts? Am I the one who has existed in separation thinking and duality? Am I the one of dislike and like, of right and wrong, of good and bad, the one that interprets life in these polarities? And if we come to this truly like an inner explorer, we can see in the inner landscape that throughout our lives, or this body's life, this thinking, the psychological, has changed. It hasn't held permanence. So if you look to the time you were 4, maybe early memories, maybe you can remember your opinions, your viewpoints about life. And then if you look to the time when you were a teenager, and then later in your 20s, and so forth in this body's trajectory, you can see how the mindscape, the landscape of the psychological, has shifted. See that clearly. Of course, you don't believe the same things that you did when you were 4. So who is the believer? And is there anything concrete, real, to be found in this landscape of the habituated mind? as we start to create more porousness here, as we become less stuck to thinking that we are the mind, to seeing its ephemeral, passing, constantly changing nature, then notice the freedom that arises. The natural fragrance of being as we become less consumed with the one who seats us into our habituated suffering. And secondarily, in this inquiry, if we know that there is one who has watched the mind and its interpretations throughout all of those times of this body's life, then this too can become an inquiry. Who has perceived the mind even though it changed? Who is that one? And is it that that one has remained constant? Inquire here into the existence of this perceiver. And just landing here already brings an answerless answer. It settles us into a place of great respite and restfulness within us. And so in this morning's meditations, we're going to put forth one of the offerings of the Advaita lineage, of the non-dual lineage, one of the pointings that can be used in our inquiry. And this is the Sanskrit offering of neti neti. This is an affirmation that means not this, not that. Neti neti. Not this, not that. And what is it referring to? It can be put forth any time we start to cling, become hypnotized by falsity, by the falsehood of, again, identifying with the psychological, with the thinking. Anytime we try to confine the greatness, the vastness of existence in thought, anytime you come to sit and there's less than abiding, thoughts may come up in small and subtle ways or in gross ways, repetitive thoughts that you're used to of past or of future that create suffering. And then we gently, yet with vigilance, put forth neti neti. Not this, not that. I do not exist in this thought. Life is not to be found here. And this isn't to be taken as a fighting with the mind. In fact, as Ramana Maharishi often offered, fighting with the mind is like a thief stealing from themselves. Or we can almost think of it as a cat chasing their own tail. So we're neither trying to kill the mind nor fight with it, but rather position ourselves in what's true. Shift the positioning. Neti, neti. This can be used in various ways, even bringing to mind the things we identify with strongly, what we call the nama-rupa, the names and the forms that we've become hypnotized to think that we are. Our name, our gender, the country we were born in, our family positioning, son, husband, wife, daughter, mother, father, our career, the title we take on, our religion. Even bringing to awareness to shine the light of attention upon those places where we've really collapsed our freedom. Neti neti. I, consciousness, exists well beyond the walls of this concept of the mind-ego prison. You can start to feel the widening out as we reside less as these roles, these names and forms. Neti, neti. Not this, not that. But we can also bring this forth by simply sitting into that which is no mind, into the positioning in the silence, in the thought-free abode of beingness, pure awareness. And any time the thoughts start to call the attention, there's this hijacking, hypnotism. We can also put forth this offering, neti neti, like the bell of awareness. Like a sword, cutting through the tethering, cutting through the hook to that which is untrue. So let us find relative comfort in the body. And we come to receive the gift of this simple yet powerful affirmation, what we might call the via negativa, the path of negation, to really reveal that which is true, negating the untrue. And don't go on repeating neti neti on autopilot or making it something for the mind, making it a method by which you force or push or effort, but instead simply allow it to arise from a deep place of knowing, of wisdom, and almost like a compassionate indifference. Neti neti. I'm not found here. And then dive, surrender into the truth of this moment, the self. one more minute. Just notice if there's something that's craving for life to be different, that's craving. If there's discomfort in the body, that this go away. If there's this mind's game, the psychological game, implanted in the bodily experience. And it doesn't mean that we don't move the body, but see if you can move from a place of equanimity. Not necessarily believing completely in the stories, the loudness, the noise of the mind. And even as we move towards taking a 10-minute break, let the meditation be your ever-present state. Stay in this inquiry. Even at times, if you open the eyes and you start to move now, allow the pointing of neti neti to be there if the mind comes in to collapse the experiencing. So let us take a 10-minute break.